Pues nada, bienvenidos, bienvenidas a otro episodio más de The Bahrain Podcast, The Bahrain Podcast. Y hoy nos encontramos en un episodio muy especial. Como os comentaba, estamos aquí en los Altos de Marbella, en una pedazo de mansión. Hemos venido expresamente para poder grabar este episodio con una persona muy especial. Y por otro lado, también es un episodio muy, muy, muy especial porque vamos a hacerlo en inglés. Es decir, nuestro invitado pues entiende perfectamente el español, habla español perfectamente, pero su lengua materna, su lengua principal es el inglés, entonces se va a poder defender mucho mejor y va a poder compartir muchísimo más valor en inglés, así que vamos a salir de la zona de confort y vamos a meterle muchísima caña al inglés. Entonces, dicho esto, vamos a pasar al otro idioma. Va a haber subtítulos, obviamente, para que podáis estar escuchando o podáis estar entendiendo lo que vamos a estar comentando. Así que, con todo esto dicho, let's fucking go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the fourth episode of the Bahrain Podcast. My name is Arnau, and we are today with a very, very, very special guest. He's a guy, I will start with a little story of how I discovered the existence of this guy. He was like this, and I was like this. Hi, we were all fucking kids. And I remember, I think I was maybe, how old were you when you came to Spain?
12.
So I was like 13, 14 years old. And my father picked me up at school, and he told me, hey, how is it going? Everything is okay? Oh yeah, all right, everything okay? Oh, I forgot to tell you something. There's an Australian guy that's playing football that will stay at Jose's house. It's one of my uncle's house for a while. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? what does it mean? I was like, it's the last thing I would ever imagine that my father is going to tell me in that specific moment. So that's where I was, yeah, this is a guy that is like 11 years old. That's a kid that has came to Australia, from Australia to Spain to play football, to be a professional football player. We will hear about guy's story very soon. But yeah, it was pretty crazy the way that I've met you. So, well, that's the way I've met this guy, this legend right now. He's 20 years old. He's making like 200k per month. If I'm wrong, just correct me.
It's okay. It's all free, so it doesn't matter.
Jesus. Okay. He's making a bunch of fucking money. He's in another level. He's only 20 years old. I'm going to repeat that. He's only 20 years old. So it's, for me, it's a pleasure to have you in the podcast. And thank you very much to inviting me to this awesome place. So,
no, thanks, bro. Thanks for coming. And like, look, yeah, thanks for flying out. I know we're in Marbella. You live in Barcelona. So thanks so much for flying here, especially for this. We spent some days together now, which was awesome. We've partied together, had some great conversations. So I'm excited to share the value with people, because at the end of the day, there's things that I know now that I wish I knew when I started that no one told me. And I think the advice wasn't specific enough that I got.
Yeah. That's amazing. The first plan was to record the podcast the first day we got there, but he told me, let's do it in another way. How it sounds you to go have live some experiences with some high valuable people, just hear the conversations, what they talk about, what they say, how they react, how they act, and then we can record a podcast with much more valuable questions, with much more value in the content. So I was like, yeah, it makes a lot of fucking sense. So we did it, and yeah, after three days of having a lot of experiences that, well, you will see in our social media, here we are, and I think that this is gonna be so fucking sick.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
Okay, so tell me a little about or tell the people what's your story from the beginning to the point of to the actual point?
Yeah, well, I mean, we met in Europe, right? In Spain, I was a kid, and my whole life, football was everything, right? From a little kid, I always trained, always played with football, 7 days a week, was nonstop. And when I met you, I trained, you know, up until 11, 12 years old, and I became one of the better players in my country. And so I had to go somewhere, which was Spain, that was more difficult for me. So I went to Barcelona, lived there for 4 years in the end, was 2 years in your town, and then 2 years in another town. Played in the highest level, then went to Germany after that. And cut a long story short, just when COVID hit, I had to return back to Australia after Germany. I played in the Bundesliga there, and I had to return to Australia to finish my schooling. And then I was going to go back to Spain, actually, and sign professional. That was going to be my life. I was going to be a pro footballer. And when I arrived back in Australia, obviously COVID hit, and then I had a back injury. So basically, to put this into context, I did nothing my whole life but play football. You saw it, obviously, training every single day. And then, yeah, when COVID hit, I had a back injury, which ended my career completely. Like, I just never really came back from it. And then, yeah, by the time I was good enough to play again, I was 19. So for two-ish years, it was over. So, yeah, the only thing I'd ever worked for, ever wanted to do was gone. And I could do nothing about it. I could just lay in bed with a sore back. Even I got a job in a kitchen, which I'm sure we'll talk about, for 2 years, and I had to wear a back brace to stand up straight. So not only was I stripped of everything I wanted to do in my life, I didn't have a high school degree. I was working for like $6 an hour, $7 an hour in a kitchen. And on top of that, I had a fucked up back, to put it kindly. And I had to wear a metal back brace so I could stand up straight to cut the vegetables. And I did that for 2 years. So,
wow, that's amazing. And what is the thing that happened to you in those years that you were working at the kitchen that made you shift your perspective and made that 360 degree change?
So there's two ways I think that you can succeed in life. One, you listen to people like videos like this, mentors, guidance, and you do what they tell you to do and you avoid the mistakes. The second way to succeed is to come from extreme pain. And you don't know much about this because I don't really tell anyone, but that period was extremely dark and extremely depressive. I was always super healthy, super disciplined. And during that time, I went off the rails. I was hanging around bad people. I was getting into fights. It just went very bad. My life was very, very off track. And so the only reason I'm sitting here right now in this house talking to you is because of the second reason, which was the extreme pain that I went through mentally and physically and mentally. And then for those 2 years working in that kitchen, I had nothing. I was completely at rock bottom. I had literally zero chance of getting anywhere. And the only thing that pushed me further forward was the pain of, like, I can't stay in this place. And I remember there was one day, getting deep here, there was one day I sat at the kitchen in my house in Australia, and I just cried everywhere. I just cried for maybe like 30 minutes. And it was like that rock bottom moment. And I have friends now that are in business and trying to move forward, and they're working very hard. And they ask me for advice. And sometimes I feel bad because, the reason I am where I am and the things we're going to do this year and next year, and it's just going to be nuts, is because I had that rock bottom moment and I know what it's like to be there, and I will never be there again. It's literally impossible, in terms of financial reasoning, that I will end up in that place again with no hope, nothing. Like, I'll always be better than I was just then. But that moment is what pushed me so hard to work for 2-3 years religiously, relentlessly, with no sleep. It's what keeps me up to 5, 6, 7 a.m. working like I don't care. It was that sort of moment. And that's why I think I have an unfair advantage. And I'm lucky that that happened to me, because no one can compete with me, to be honest, now, as far as people my own age that I've seen, because no one has that feeling in the back of their mind like I do.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because as you just said, it's not a thing that happens very often, that a guy that is 20 years old has achieved what you achieved. And that happens because, or the most of the times that you hear that successful stories is because something really painful or really hard have passed to these people.
Mm.
So what you started to do these years that you were focused on building your freedom?
What was I focused on?
Yeah, what thing you did in those years after the back injury, after you hit rock bottom, what did you, what project did you develop to turn back on? Mm. And
yeah, that makes sense. So when I was working in the kitchen, I think my mom brought it up one day. Then my grandmother, they were like, you know, you should start a little business, do something. Like, you can't just keep working in this kitchen. Like, it's, we can't watch you keep doing this. And so a friend of mine had an online course, which is where I started. And he was making, you know, 8 figures a year with his online course. And he basically said, look, you're in a very bad state. He obviously saw me and come to my office and I'll help you. Like, I'll give you some guidance on what you should do, which was like the little hand of God that sort of pulled me out a little bit. And so I went to his office and he asked me, like, you know, he asked me 2 questions, which I've spoken about a few times online. It's like, the first one he said is like, what are your skills? And I didn't think I had any skills. Like, if you're just a kid, you know, that comes from a you know, normal family and doesn't, there's nothing exciting but about their life, you know, you don't actually think you have like major skills. And he's like, so what are your skills? What can you teach people? Because online course, you got to teach something, right? And I was like, I don't know. I don't have any skills. I work in a kitchen. I don't have a high school degree. I don't have anything. You know, technically I'm dumb as far as the world would see me, right? And then the second question he asked was, what is money? And I'll never forget it because he was the first guy to tell me this, but it's so real to me now. And he said, you know, he said, what is money? And I was just like, it's cash. Like, it's something you give to people to buy. It's like, nah. Money is an exchange of value. And when you remember this, your whole life changes. It's like, money is free, right? So it doesn't matter how much money you make, you earn, you could earn. The amount of money you make is in direct proportion to how much value you provide. And so, for example, with an online course, if you want to sell a course of $400, you've got to give about $3,500 to $4,000 worth of value, right? 10 times, usually, the value, people will pay it all day, the smaller amount. So he's like, money is an exchange of value. If you figure that out, you'll always have money. And so, I went and visited him. I started the course for the first, it took me like 8 months to build the course, which was a long period. I made zero. I kept working in the kitchen. And then I launched the course. Nothing happened. You know, I was like trying to figure it out. I bought every marketing book, course, you know, Facebook ad training, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Copywriting stuff. Nothing I did was working. I ran social media. I did live streams. Nothing was working. So for the first 12 months of that business, I made $0. I lost money. I was in $30K worth of debt. So I put everything, all the money I had from working, from football, from everything into this business. And for the first 12 months, I made zero. So when people tell me I launched my business 2 months ago, I've made nothing, or I've lost money, or I've made like $1,000. I'm like, great, you're better off than what I've done, because it took me 12 months. I made zero, nothing. Second year, like bang on the second year, like 13 months into the business, on that 13th month, I did 30K. So I went from zero to 30K like that. So it's zero for 12 months and then 30K, bang. And then everything changed. When you start to get money, you relax a little bit. You have the ability to think clearer, make better decisions. I had that course, which still runs now, and it helps a lot of people. The most important thing is I understood that it had to be valuable, and that's what it is. And it still runs to today. I still have it running. It's not my main thing, but I still have it running because it does help a lot of people and it does give a lot of value. And at the end of the day, it does exactly what it should do, right? I have other interests as well and want to build out other things. So that's what we're working on now. But that's kind of the process from like down bad to like there.
Yeah. Keep the word exchange of value because we are going to talk about it later, okay? I have another question for you. What made you keep going all these months with zero results?
I think it's just because I had nothing else. I really had nothing else. And I believed, this is another thing as well. a lot of people don't succeed in business or in life because they don't believe that, or they're not delusional enough to believe that it could happen for them. So for me, I saw the numbers, I saw what how much I could make, and I also saw what I was making working in the kitchen. I was like, even if this takes a year, 2 years to work, it has to work. And when it does, I'm not going to make this money doing any other job. If I go back to school, get a uni degree, I'm not going to make this money anywhere else. So it has to work. And it was just like a matter of figuring it out. And I was delusionally optimistic that it would work. And yes, it took a long time, but eventually I tried so many things and failed at every single thing until the last thing I tried worked.
All right. So in all of this process, you never thought about a second chance, a second road, only one way?
Of course, you think about like, oh, maybe I should do this other business. These guys are making so much money here. But like at the end of the day, specific attention into one thing for a long enough period of time, doesn't matter if it's whatever it is, like any business, like trading, like crypto, anything, doesn't matter. Specific attention for a long enough period of time in that one thing yields the highest ROI. And so because I put so much time into that, I had the ability to make so much more than I could doing anything else. So it's like you go to study to be a doctor for 6-7 years. You're going to be a doctor and you're going to make good money because that's what doctors do. So it's about the specific amount of attention you put into something generally yields a good ROI. So for me, I thought about doing other stuff. And to be honest, that last month, the 13th month, I sat and I'm not a quitter, but I sat in my bedroom. I remember it to this day. And I said to myself, like, if it doesn't work this month, I'm calling it. Like, I genuinely did. I sat in my room, said to myself, if it doesn't work this month, I can't keep going. Who knows? I might have kept going if it didn't work, but I probably would have. But yeah.
Do you think all of this was a coincidence or a consequence?
I think it was a consequence. For me, all the roads either led to misery in life or this life. You know, there was never going to be an in-between. And yeah, everyone thought I was delusional. There was a lot of people around me thought, you know, I should stop. I should get a life. I should, you know, go out with friends and do stuff. But for me, I knew I had nothing else. So I had to make that one thing work. And it's funny because, like, it wasn't that serious when I sit back now. But in the moment, it feels very serious. You got nothing else. You literally have nothing else. So you have to make it work. But what the real lesson I picked up now from that first business was, yes, I made money, really good money for my age. It gave me freedom, but I learned skills, and those skills, and I failed so many times. And that was the most important thing, because now I can launch any business and almost guarantee it's a success outside of drastic big startups or anything that I'm not like super cluey on. And I know it's going to work because I've failed so many times. And so, that's something I would say to people is don't worry about success. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about, looking good. Don't worry about feeling good. Put the 2 years in to any business model and fail 100 times. And then after the 2 years, you probably would have failed enough to where everything becomes easy for you.
Everyone that has been successful speaks the same motherfucking language. It's not a coincidence also. So, well, after hearing Kai's story and a little bit of value, let's go with 20 very fast questions about you. Some of them we already talked about it, so we're gonna go very, very fast. All right?
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Full name?
Kai Stopka.
All right. Age?
20.
Okay. Birth date?
5th of the 11th, 2002.
Okay. City you were born?
Gold Coast, Australia.
Okay. Actual city that you are living in?
Everywhere.
Yeah. Tell the people what's your future schedule of places that you are going, your next tour places that you're going to be.
Yeah, I don't like to be in one place for too long. I get sort of down when I stay in one place for too long, but right now we're in Marbella. Obviously got to go to Madrid, Barcelona, see all of Spain. I love Spain. Ibiza, go a little bit nuts in Ibiza for a week. And then I have some business in Bali, head back there. Some business in Australia I've got to go and set up. But after that, oh, as well, Mykonos, we're doing a really cool trip which I'm sure you guys will see. So yeah, just traveling around really, man, and meeting cool people at the end of the day. That's the real message I want to get across, but I'm sure we'll hit that later.
Yeah, for sure. So do you have any studies?
No.
All right. Date that you started to be an entrepreneur?
I'm not sure the date, but definitely around 17 years old.
Oh, right. Yeah. What made you start a business?
Being extremely, extremely depressed and having no other option.
Okay. What's the results that you are more satisfied about?
My friends.
Right. Wow. Do you have... tell me three mentors that you got.
You want me to shout them out?
Yeah.
Okay. Adam Hudson, he knows who he is. Some of you guys might have seen him. Another guy is Richard, but I won't say his last name for privacy reasons. Big Richard, super successful guy. And another mentor, Eric, Risk Reward. He's 10 years ahead of me. I know I'll be where he is. But yeah, he's a super good guy and helped me a lot. And that's why I'm most proud of, actually, as well.
Okay, cool. Now tell me three books.
Evolution of Desire, Understand Humans. The Almanac by Naval. I've smashed these ones on my Instagram, told everyone to watch them, but read those two books. And the third one is probably just How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's okay. I think if you understand how men and women think, then that book's kind of irrelevant, but it can be good to read. So yeah, those three books.
All right. Now tell me a quote that really hit you hard.
Nothing matters.
All right. I was thinking about everything is free.
Yeah, and everything is free. Yeah.
Okay. What's the most valuable thing for you?
Time.
Okay. Yeah. Right. What's the best business opportunity that you think that exists in this specific moment?
The most ludicrous, the one that makes the most money, probably.
Yeah.
I'd say managing influencers or OnlyFans creators. Both are very ludicrous.
Yeah, and that's what he's doing. So we'll talk about it later. And why?
Because it makes sense. It's massively valuable if you know what you're doing we do male and female for the creator, the girl or boy, because you have experts making your life better. You make more money. You're more famous. Makes sense. And also it's a good business if you don't want to be famous to make other people famous and get paid for it, you know?
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Okay. Let's make a very different kind of questions. What's your favorite car?
Lamborghini Urus.
Yeah, let's go. Your favorite number?
7.
7, all right. That's the amount of Bitcoin you have to send me later, okay? I'll send you my wallet, no problem. All right.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, Guillermo still owes me 23 Bitcoins, so keep going, bro. Keep going. Okay, what you will tell you to someone that is starting a business, what you will tell him to do?
Keep failing. Don't stop failing. Because if you fail enough, no one will stop you.
Yeah, amazing. Okay. We have two more to go. So what is the skill that more money has given to you from right now?
Relentless obsession.
Okay, last one. What's your short-term goal? Your main short-term goal?
Mil a month.
Short-term goal. Jesus Christ. All right. You have answered all the questions correctly. So, well, I want to start talking about money because I think that you're someone that has experienced a lot of abundance. Yeah. So let's start with the first question. And that's interesting because the first question is the first question that this guy of the online courses told it to you, or more or less. Uh-huh. So what does money meant to you?
Money means nothing to me. Money gives me a cooler life, gives me the ability to... the easiest way to put it is money is leverage, And leverage can mean a lot of things, and money means a lot of things. And I used to strive to make, you know, that the money. But now I strive to make more money for the leverage that that amount of money brings. I don't care. The money doesn't do anything. There's a lot of rich guys out there that are very sad, very lonely. And there's a lot of rich guys that go to the club and spend 50K, 100K in a night, have girls around them for about 3 minutes, and then they leave after the drinks are gone. So being rich is one thing, but using that money to give yourself a better life, look after your people, and leverage it to get what you really desire before you die is kind of how I see money.
Do you change the way you, or the meaning of money in all this process?
Yeah. So when I started, it was, I want to make heaps of money because I want to buy the car, I want to buy the watches and stuff. And that very quickly, that's also a very sad way to live because you buy the watches, you buy the cars, you drive the boats, you do the parties, and you feel nothing afterwards. You actually feel worse because either you're hungover or you have a big downer because it's been the most insane thing and you're depressed now. But when I detached monetary goals from my brain. And yes, I want to do a mil a month, not for the fact of making a mil a month. I'm not going to feel any different. I want to do a mil a month because I know what I can do with that sort of money, the leverage and the exposure that can bring me, and the access in my life that can bring me, because access is a big thing for me at least. So I detached my goals from being monetary. And that was like the best thing I did, to be honest.
All right. So now that you have earned huge amounts of money, what do you do with your money? Do you invest it in? That leads to a question that we had yesterday at the car, and it was like, okay, we have to include this at the podcast. Do you invest in external assets like stocks, crypto, startups?
This is controversial, and I'm just gonna say it because I'm gonna prove this is completely correct. I think investing in anything but yourself, your setup, your lifestyle before 30 is the complete wrong thing to do. Like, you should only be investing in your lifestyle, your setup, your appearance, your living situation, because it's all leverage. Investing in real estate is a fucking scam. Like, and by the way, friends, family members of mine are gonna watch this and think I'm crazy, but I'm gonna prove that this is true, right? For a young guy right now, or girl, social media can change their entire world, can change their life and ensure that they never worry about money again. The amount of money that is available to you is infinite and it's free. So why would I put 500K, a mil, 2 mil into a building, apartment, or house that's going to sit there and make me $1,000, $2,000 a week, maybe $3,000 a week? Why would I do that when I can invest it into a nicer setup, a nicer apartment, a nicer watch? I can invest it into content, creating these types of videos. I can invest it into pushing my profile out to more people, because at the end of the day, eyeballs is leverage. And if you have eyeballs and you have infinite amount of eyeballs on you, you can then create infinite amount of income. And by the way, this is all free. I don't sell anything, right? This is not my goal. I don't want to sell anything on social media, but the access that having a big following and giving all this stuff away for free gives me, gets me better friends, bigger, and gets me into bigger rooms, better rooms. And that's where the money's made. Right, I can't speak on this, but recently I've met heaps of people all over the world, in Dubai, etc., that have changed the course of my business career and fast-tracked anything I could do. And that's because I invested in my lifestyle, in my brand, my personal brand, in my appearance. I invested into traveling, meeting these people, going for dinners, spending money on the right things. And so investing in real estate, investing in stocks, investing in all that other shit is completely irrelevant until you have maybe 20 to 30 mil in the bank. Until you have that, don't even start, right? Invest in yourself and you will reap, and I will prove this, and I know heaps of people have proved this, but you will reap the highest level of reward if you use your money to improve yourself and not buy a building.
And also, if you also start investing on real estate, well, all these connections, all these friends, all these people that you may be meeting on the dinners, on the meetings, on all these places, you don't meet them because you just put money on somewhere, and this money give you more money in return. But at the end of the day, you're still alone, right?
I think, and this is another thing as well, people think about business completely wrong. Business is not a thing that makes you money, right? You don't create a business to make money so that you can have a better lifestyle. You have to be creating a business so that you can leverage that business, that service, that really good service that you have to make better friends and give value to them. So like, for example, if you have a race car company, and this is a very extreme example, if you have a race car team per se, right? I have a race car team in Formula One or Formula Two. Instead of investing into, you know, using that company and investing into the car to then make myself money and buy the super yacht, I should be investing into celebrities to get them to the event so that I can build relationships with those people. Fuck whatever I make. Empty my bank account. Get me in rooms with the people that are going to change my life and improve my life, right? Another example, OnlyFans, right? If you've got an OnlyFans management agency, and I know a lot of my followers do, that's why I bring it up, you should be leveraging your business to offer your services to friends, to girls that you know that have, you know, good profiles, that have access to people you know. Don't be thinking about how much money you can make for them. Don't screw them down on percentages. Give them value, use the service, the team that you've built to provide value to a person, and build relationships with people. And so your business shouldn't be thinking of your business as a way to make money. You should be thinking of your business as a way to give value on a setup that's already built to people that you want to be given value to. And this is why, one, I'll never be broke again. This is why everything for me now is free, right? And this is why investing in traditional sources is a complete scam, because you can completely unlock everything you ever want to unlock if you don't do what those people are telling you to do. And that's why I wish I knew all this stuff in the beginning.
Yeah, also, it's very important to listen to the right people. Well, we said that a bunch of times, but it's very important. You have to know who you listen to. Depends on the area of these people are professionals, because maybe you have a billionaire in real estate that he started at 18 years old in real estate. Yeah, he can teach you a lot of things about real estate, but he may cannot teach you about relationships, about building relationships, because it happened what we just talked about before. And also, that leads me to another thing that personally I've seen this on this weekend, that we've been to a couple of dinners, and before coming here I was like, wow, this exchange of value thing, what kind of value can they provide each other to make things? And well, we had an example that we were with a guy that is into real estate, and I've seen with my own eyes what kind of value did you provide each other. So can you explain a little bit about what happened in this occasion, or what kind of value do you usually provide to get some more value in exchange?
Yeah, so everything is always situational. There's very irrelevant, boring, unnecessary ways of giving value, like doing an intro for someone and they have nothing in common, and like, congratulations, you gave value, but like the value didn't help me. So this is why I thought we should wait to do the podcast, because like, even that, I didn't know we were going for dinner with this guy, a massive real estate guy, friends with the owner of Ferrari and all this type of stuff. And for him, he has access to massive villas, right? And you've probably seen on my Instagram, I like to do trips with a lot of girls, a lot of my high level friends. Shout out Paul. Paul Ribot. So I said to him, like, look, man, we have millions of followers we have access to. I have extremely high level friends that would be clients of yours, that would buy your properties, that would move into your start villas around the world. What if we do events at your place? You provide the villa, I'll provide millions of followers worth of girls, and I'll provide high level guys to come to these events, and it's an exchange of value, right? Didn't know that we were going to meet this guy like 5 minutes before, but you have to be switched on, and you have to see opportunities in front of you and ways of helping people. He gets value because I bring him clients. We get value because he has massive villas, like, you know, $50-100 million villas that we can shoot content in. And so everyone gets value. But for the person that's watching this, that's just getting started, or that's been going for a year or two, making 10, 20, 30K per month, there's probably not a lot of value that you can provide to someone that's making 200, 300, 400K per month, right? In terms of knowledge, in terms of monetary things, whatever, right? There's not a lot of value you can provide. So you need to just focus on yourself. You need to improve yourself, improve your situation until giving value is easy, right? Two years ago, I would have no right sitting at that dinner table with that guy being able to give him any value. I couldn't. It's impossible. But because my life setup's better now, I have an opportunity where I can give value to him. So, by the way, Dario, if you're watching this, great guy. But that was kind of how that went down. And that is the most important thing. I think people underestimate drastically the power of access and the power of leverage. And that will kill any real estate deal that you've ever told me about.
Everything that Sky told right now makes a lot of sense of what he told before, because let's repeat it. He's 20 years old and he has a net worth that it's worth billions, maybe. His network is worth billions of dollars. And that's not because he invested in real estate. And prove me wrong, he invested in his self-image, your self brand, and you invested to leveraging everything so you can be able to provide value to these people. So if you can provide value to these people, you can keep them on your network, and keeping them on your network makes you
unstoppable.
Yeah, that's so fucking crazy how things work, and how the quote of your network is your net worth makes so much sense right now.
And I just want to say as well, like, not everyone wants to be like me. Like, I want to do business with the biggest celebrities in the world. I want to have major impact, right? And again, I don't really believe in impact. I don't think it means much, because we're all just a sandcastle and it's all going to wash away one day. So I don't really believe in impact. But for me, I just want to do cool shit. Like, I want dopamine throughout my whole life, and it gets harder and harder to get more dopamine as you get bigger and bigger. So I have aspirations of doing the biggest business deals in the world, because it's fun, not because of the money. It's just fun, right? And I find that fun. Some people might want to invest in 10 building real estate apartments, buildings over the next 5 years, and build out their real estate portfolio because they don't want the life I want, right? But you know, I know that no amount of investment into anything else but myself and traveling and meeting people and giving value to people, whether it costs me money or not, is the biggest ROI investment that I can be doing for the life I want, which is, you know, massive connections, massive massive opportunity, massive you know, massive things with massive people. And that's what excites me.
There's, we're talking really deep shit, bro. Yeah, I like it. Okay, so after talking about building network, knowing how to meet people, let's talk a little bit about what you are doing right now. You are in OFM, in OnlyFans Management. How this kind of business works? How you decided to start this kind of business, and how you scale it, and how you leveraged all of it?
Yeah, so one of my friends was doing this business originally, and I started working with him. Another important thing to remember is, you know, you can put in the hours, you can be smart, but if your business isn't the right vehicle to get you to your goals in terms of income goals, if you're not in the right vehicle, then you're basically stuck in the mud. And so one of my friends, while I had my info product, was doing OFM, and I saw the amount of money he was making for the amount of work he was putting in and how it was all set out. And it was literally so much easier than what I was doing, and he was making so much more. Don't get me wrong, one of the smartest guys probably on this planet. I can't believe I ran into him randomly and met him, but yeah, I just saw what he was doing and I was like, look, I need to do this. So I risked it all. I flew out to where he was. I was spending like 20 grand a month in expenses just to like be in one of the most expensive cities in the world to live next to him and learn from him. He didn't pay me anything. I learned from him for 2-3 months, just listened, learned, watched, and started my own thing. And yeah, now it's going great. But at the end of the day, like, OnlyFans space is a very weird, like, gross space. There's a lot of weird people just, you know, doing business very badly. And so for me, it's just like I take a very clean approach. And again, as I said, everything to me is free. And so it doesn't matter if a girl doesn't pay me, if a male model doesn't pay me, whatever, do whatever you want. Like, there's an infinite enough a number of people that I can help that I can change their life. And so for me, it doesn't matter. Like, do whatever you want. I don't care. And so, yeah, so it's very straightforward for the OF side. It's just build out a solid team. Make sure your training is really good for your chatting team. Make sure that's really, really solid, and, make sure the girls, or guys, depending on what niche you're in, are hitting what they're supposed to be doing, giving you a lot of content. And it's a pretty straightforward thing. Once it's set up, it runs and it's great. But yeah, like it's not enough for me. So I need to keep moving forward and keep expanding. Few operations, yeah, some new info basically come in the last sort of couple months, 3-4 months, that is pointing towards bigger numbers than a mil a month. But again, it's all free and it doesn't matter, and it's just gonna fuel a better lifestyle, and not in terms of buying things. It's gonna give me more access, give me more leverage to better people, which is, at the end of the day, people is what makes you happy.
So, next question. You told me that you are working so hard on leveraging on your business, on all this kind of stuff. So now you are, you just came from Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
doing, yeah, I think it was 40 plus days.
Yeah, 45?
45 days, yeah. Of monk mode,
monk,
right?
Monk mode, yeah.
So tell me a little bit more. What did you do? What are the pros and cons of doing this practice? Because it's getting, I think it's getting viral, this doing the monk mode thing. But what did you do in your specific case?
So I just built out a new team, built out a new operation, trained staff members, trained partners, etc., and brought on new talent. But yeah, I think that monk mode is important. For me, I like monk mode because I don't like to have a routine. I don't like to work 5 days a week and then have the weekend off. I don't like to do that for an extended period of time. I kind of like to just go crazy party or just do whatever I want, like go on holiday for a few weeks at a time, and then for a few weeks just work like crazy. And then the third sort of period is like a mix between work and play. And that works best for me. It keeps my life moving, keeps it different. And I just like that. It's just personal opinion.
All right. I asked you this question because of the next question, and it's, what was the consequence of doing that in your business? What was the direct consequence? What happened to your business?
Yeah, I'd say I moved probably 3 to 6 months, 4 to 6 months ahead in 1 month. So that's why I think it's worthwhile people do, is taking out a month or two just to do nothing but work every single day, because you can get 6 months worth of work done in a month if you do that extended heavy period of work.
So, well, for doing all of this stuff, you really need to develop a mindset. It's not only about the business, it's also about the mindset. So having a good mindset also leads to being a high quality individual. So how do you become a high quality individual, and how you become more desirable?
Yeah, I think it goes back to that book, Evolution of Desire. Definitely read that book. It was a game changer. And the reason it was a game changer is because it teaches you how men and women think. And as far as I'm aware, there's only two genders, right? As of right now, men and women. So if you understand how men think, and you understand what men want out of other men, what men want out of women, what women want out of vice versa, if you understand this, life becomes easy, because you know what you have to do in order to be a desirable person. And if that's something you want to do, which I want to be a desirable person, I want to achieve, then that's what you need to do. And so becoming desirable changes all over the whole spectrum changes. But in order to do that, you have to understand the writings in the book, which I'll make sure not to spoil it so people go and actually read it. But yeah, I mean, you don't have to. Being rich, being desirable, being well connected is a state of being. You don't get lucky with this stuff. Like, it just happens. You might get lucky on a crypto trade, or you might get lucky on winning the lottery, or you might get lucky on a position at some time in your life. But at the end of the day, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And so if you prepare yourself to become the person that is eligible for the opportunity, then it will appear in front of you. And it just will, because you're the type of person that led to the consequence of that happening. And so, yeah, so that should be people's only focus, is leveling up themselves. And that's what I mentioned before about where you spend your money, is focus on yourself, because that is the highest yielding ROI. There is a reason why Elon Musk is Elon Musk. There's a reason why Steve Jobs did what he did. If Elon Musk plugged his brain into my brain, I'd be Elon Musk, because it's in his head. All the ideas, everything that he thinks, it's in his brain. So like, if you can understand that Elon Musk is Elon Musk because of his brain, then you just need to improve your brain, and you can become a person that is better, smarter, achieves more, makes more, is more desirable. And so that's why I think people need to ingrain that into themselves.
Having all this conversation about being desirable, being a highly valuable man, developing all this mindset, it's also very important to train your mind to react in a different ways on the same situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the things you did, or what things happened to you that made you change your reaction? I don't know if I'm explaining okay?
Yeah.
What things made you change your the way you react on difficult situations, maybe on bad situation?
Yeah.
Because, well, everything is neutral, but yeah, the things that most of people think that are bad, how do you react to them, or how do you train your mind to react in a different way?
It's funny, because one of my followers put a message in one of those question things I did on Instagram the other day, asking like, what do I do when I'm like suicidal? Like, what do I do? I'm suicidal. And everything is beliefs. And don't get me wrong, I've been in a very, very, very dark place in my life in the last few years. So I understand how that person's feeling. But everything is a belief statement. And Alex Hormozi talks about this a lot, right? Everything in life is a belief statement. Everything you say is a belief statement. Everything you do is because and based off of what you believe to be true. And so I changed my... When I really had like major... momentum forward. I worked for 3 years. The last 6 months of that 3 years, it really ramped up quickly and took off, and all happened at once. And it's because I changed my mindset. That was it. I understood that nothing matters. For me, and not a lot of people like to do this, Alex Hormozi does, and I resonate with this a lot, is I like to think about death a lot. I like to think about, you know, what it would be like, and what I would be thinking about, and all this type of shit, because it puts me in a different place where it makes me unstoppable, to be honest. And it allows me to leverage all that dark time and sort of push forward. So trying to find what it is for the person watching this, where maybe it's a family member that's older, or has an illness, or maybe someone said they can't do something, whatever it is that was close to them, whatever it is, right? Leveraging a feeling is always good. But understand that like literally nothing matters. We're all sandcastles. Like the water's going to blow us all over one day, and nothing really matters. And I know it sounds very dark and scary and whatever, but like at the end of the day, that moved the needle so much for me, because I stopped caring about what people thought. My Instagram gets wild sometimes, because I literally just don't care. Like, I don't care what people think, because why would I? You know, no one's immortal as of right now. And so like, why would I care? Right. And once I realized this to my core, and it was ingrained in me that nothing matters, and that like all this shit is free, my whole life changed, because, you become limitless. And when in your mind, you are limitless, you are in reality.
Yeah. Belief system. It's very, very, very important. I think that 99.9% of the people that is on the process or has achieved what they have achieved their goals, they all will be agreed that mindset and changing their belief system is one of the keys. But when you think about all these bad things, what would have been if happened this thing? Do you have any regrets?
At this stage of my life, I don't have any regrets. No, I don't. Regret isn't a feeling I feel, because for the most part, I don't do things that I wouldn't wish people did to me. So in terms of that way, I don't really have any regrets. But I would say that people that are watching this that are just starting out or are halfway through or are dealing with problems, there's always going to be problems. But like anyone watching this, they need to understand that if they are not where they want to be, it's just because they don't know enough. And I've said this on my Instagram countless times, but like, it's good we can put this in video for once and for all. If you are not where you want to be, it's because you don't know enough, right? It doesn't matter. Even for me, I'm not a billionaire because I don't know enough. I haven't had enough time to know enough, right? Because it takes some time. So just accept it, right? It's not a big deal. Take away your ego. Take away all that shit. That shit doesn't matter. And I think having a couple of close near-death experiences helped me with this. Like, just got rid of my ego and just advanced my life drastically. Sooner you can get rid of that and understand that you are not where you want to be because you don't know enough or you haven't applied what you think you know enough. That's it. Because if you knew what you were supposed to do or you knew how to make $7 million, you would have made it. Right? Or if, you know, there's always a little margin for error, like maybe you know how to do it, but you're just in the process and it's taken some time. But people get stuck not thinking and not trying to learn when they think they're in a good spot, right? And then they get stuck. So, like, keep learning.
Yeah, did you spoil my next question, that it was how you control your ego?
I think when I made good money, I lost my ego. It's weird because I feel like people get ego when they make money, right? I lost my ego because I realized how quickly I can make it, how quickly I can lose it, how quickly the situation can change, how quickly business partners can walk away, I think for me, I just lost my ego when I made money because I was like, oh shit, I don't feel any different. I don't feel like the guy that's in has a three cars lined up around the jet. I know he feels exactly the same as me, right? Because I could do that. If I really want to spend the money, I could do that. But it's like, he doesn't feel any different to me. So like, why would I have an ego? And that was, it was a big change, a big shifter for me, was like not having that. It changed the game for sure.
I like a quote that says that for every level, there's a new evil. So what are your evils in your level?
I think your problems change with your mindset and expectations of yourself. So like someone that is not making $5,000 a month might see that as a problem. You know, for me, not making a mil a month could be a problem, or not traveling enough is a problem, or not doing enough cool things is a problem. So for me, I don't. It's funny because the quote doesn't apply to me so much because I don't see problems as problems. I don't see evil as evil because nothing matters. So like, it sounds crazy, but I think if people can really ingrain this mindset, it'll just change everything for them, because everything has a logical solution, right? Every issue has a logical solution. You want to party more? Great. Make time. Not saying that's me, but like, you want to travel more, cool, you need to make this money. Everything has a logical step-by-step answer in order to achieve the outcome of your problem, right? There's stuff you can't solve, but like 99% of the things you can solve. And so if you have a problem, figure out, is there a logical solution? Yes, no. If there isn't, probably just forget about it. But there should be a logical solution to every issue, and you could probably solve them as you go. Obviously, it's never going to be enough for a lot of people, but like, problems can be solved.
Yeah. So your mindset, the way you think about it is, okay, that is not a problem, that is a situation that happens. We have to find a solution, find the ways, find a roadmap to solve this situation, right?
Another reason why I say exposing yourself to better people, better environments, improving yourself, spending money on yourself is good is because if you start to make better friends, you start to have more wealth exposure. And this changed the game for me completely. Like a friend of mine's worth like over $100 million. He's 27. He changed the game for me just by watching him move, watching him live, watching him eat, watching him move around the world. It changed the game for me because my problems of 10K a month, 20K a month, 30K a month seemed so insignificant when I was talking to him and he's doing 20, 30, $40 million deals. He's doing 100 model influencer deals. Like he's moving around big, big, large amounts of money or large amounts of talent or people, whatever, right? My problems now seemed insignificant. And so a lot of the times people's problems are expectation that they have in their mind that they are issues when they're probably not. Your reality is just not thinking big enough. And so that's why I say, like, everything is free for me because my pain tolerance and my ability to solve problems is so far beyond the average human that I will never be broke again, poor again, whatever. And that is very important for people, especially young guys and girls, if they have wealth exposure at a young age. When your brain's young and you can absorb information and react quickly, that will be extremely valuable. Like the ROI on that is infinite.
Yeah. So the way that you have high pain tolerance is because you just had so much pain in the past.
And I also understand that my problems aren't problems. Like I'm talking to friends that are doing like, yeah, massive deals and their problems seem like problems, which make mine seem like nothing. So it's like understanding there's way bigger problems than yours and yours now becomes easy. The solution to yours appears. So yeah, that'll be the key.
Yeah, everything is making sense again.
And that's why I wanted you to, like, no, not you. I wanted to wait to shoot this podcast because I was like, spend some time around this environment and kind of see what you think. Like, you know, understand like how we talk, like what we're saying. And it might change your perspective, which I think it did.
Yeah, for sure. It was like, okay, just shut up. Just listen what they are talking about. I will just talk if they have a question for me.
Bro, but you're there in 6 months, though. You're there.
Yeah, for sure, bro. For sure. Mm. But it was like, yeah, I like also the situation of, yeah, listen. More than you speak, because if you have the opportunity to be with these people or to be in the dinner we had on Friday, and you have the fucking los putos cojones, the fucking balls of just speak, and you are a brokey. Come on, bro. Just listen to them. Know what they are talking about. Look how they act.
That's actually a big one. Is like the wealth exposure I had made me understand how wealthy people talk, how wealthy people interact, how wealthy people do deals, how they have dinner, how they sit. You know, none of those things matter, but it's like there are patterns, and money doesn't come to anyone. Money comes to people that are eligible for the money, and money comes to people that are the type of person that would reap that money, so the revenue, whatever you want to call it. So being around that exposure is good.
Yeah. So I will expose you a situation. I'm a guy. I don't know anyone that is rich, or I don't know anyone in this moment that I can be at a wealth exposure. How would I have to do to approach to these people so I can have this wealth exposure and see what happens and change my mind, change my perspective?
Yeah.
How this person that knows anyone have to do to...
It's a process. It takes years. It does take years. And then when it clicks, it all clicks very quickly. This just didn't happen, right? All this just didn't happen. I started from nothing in my parents' bedroom working. So it takes time, but you meet someone, you learn how to speak to them, you learn how to give value. It's a process. You have to understand that it is a process, but what would you rather be doing? Go on the journey and go through the process and fail a lot to reach the top, or just do nothing? And that's all it is. It's very easy. It's See, It's an easy problem to solve. You just go through the process and then you're there.
Yeah. Maybe, well, people are scared of writing someone that have you, that may you have this wealth exposure easier than if you don't have it. So people are scared of, oh no, these guys are not going to answer me. Did you even ask him?
Yeah.
No.
Just try things.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain as a prejuicio. I don't know how it's called in English.
That makes sense.
Okay. I want to discuss a little bit about life-changing experiences that led you to shift your paradigms and evolve as an individual. How you learn from them and use them to your advantage.
I think everything happens when it's supposed to happen. And so, like, in business, for me, I made mistakes. I learned from them. I got better. I changed my mind slowly. But again, I'll go back to it because I think if people apply it, they can get results because it worked for me. The biggest paradigm shift for me is that nothing actually matters. My dad does a lot of, likes to explore the world of UFOs and sort of, is that a reality, and kind of explore concepts that might be real, might be not. And it's enjoyable. Right, but we came to the conclusion one day that it doesn't matter. Like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, if it's real, if it's not, it does not matter, because you have to understand how small you are in this world, and how like insignificant you are, and then everything becomes easy. Like, you'll hear, and again, guys, I'm not talking shit here. Like, it is a continuous pattern in high level guys, girls that make a lot of money. They understand that nothing matters. Everything is easy because everything has a logical answer. And that was the biggest paradigm shift for me was that my problems aren't really problems. If something comes up, yes, it's annoying. Yes, it can piss you off, but it has a logical step in order to change it. And my mentor worth over $100 million taught me that as well. Everything's logical. Everything has a simple solution. So, biggest paradigm shift for me was that, like, literally nothing matters. And it can sway between a pro and a con sometimes, because, you know, you're not, you change as a human when you realize these things. You change how your beliefs, you change your values. You're not really a normal human that has intense emotions anymore, because everything is logical. But yeah, in terms of for business life and success and wealth and generating cool experiences, everything is logical. So just think logical.
Before ending to the last question, I was like, how these near-death experiences, do you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
What happened to these two near-death experiences, and what happened and how you changed after these situations?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of two. One, I fell off my bike, just riding a bike, and I hit my head on the ground and knocked myself out for like 20 minutes, and I was gone. I was no longer here. I woke up in a completely different place to where I fell off the bike, and I had no recollection of anything. And so I felt what death could feel like, where it's just nothing. And the fear of it sort of went away a little bit. So that was kind of like the first thing where it was like, oh, like, you know, if that's what's going to happen, like, I've just got to move. I've just got to do things. You know, I don't want to get to the point where I know this is happening in the next hour, 2 hours, 3 days, 5 days, and be like, I wish I did more. And so that was the first thing. And then the second thing was that extreme moment, like that moment on that in the kitchen when I spoke about earlier, where I was at the bottom, like, couldn't get any lower for me in my head. That was like the big moment where it was like, I can't go any lower. So like, what else am I going to do? I think going back to what I said before, everything has a logical answer. And like, me being a footballer, coming from a football's background, it's a very emotional sport. And so I was using that in business a lot in the beginning, like emotions and emotional thinking, and just completely wrong.
How you control your emotions?
I understood that nothing matters.
Yeah. That will be the title of the podcast. Nothing matters. Perspective. And be a fucking millionaire. Okay. One last question for you. What's the question that you always wanted to be asked and no one ever asked you?
Jeez, that's tough, bro. You've just got me in a pickle there. What It's a question that no one's ever asked me that I wish I got asked. What's my type?
Okay.
Well, that's a question I've never been asked.
Okay, what's your type, bro?
Of what type?
It's a secret.
What the fuck? All right, after these little technical problems. Come here, motherfucker. All right,
okay.
Come here, bro.
After...
Okay, after this little interruption, I think we get all the questions answered. So, well, bro, thank you so much.
Thanks, brother.
For your hospitality, for everything you've done for us this weekend. And, well, I think that's enough value for today. Volvemos a pasar al español, que hemos sufrido bastante, pero bueno, lo hemos hecho, lo hemos conseguido, ¿verdad?
Sí, claro. Gracias para venir a Marbella y espero que os haya ayudado un poco.
Ya. Nos has ayudado muchísimo. Así que nada, no sabemos cuál va a ser el siguiente invitado o invitada del podcast, así que hoy no lo vamos a estar diciendo. Pero bueno, nos vemos en el siguiente episodio. Espero que os haya gustado muchísimo y vamos para allá. Let's fucking go.
Shh. Boom.